Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
Hello, this is Liliana Segura. I'm an associate editor at The Nation magazine, and I'm talking today to Sharif Abdelkaddous, who's speaking to us from Cairo, about his new piece in the current issue of The Nation. It's titled Egypt 1 Year Later, and it marks the one-year anniversary of the Egyptian Revolution. Sharif is a Democracy Now! Correspondent and a fellow at The Nation Institute. Thank you for speaking to us today, Sharif.
Thank you for having me.
So your piece opens with an incredibly striking image, which is that of a protester who lost one eye during the uprising against Mubarak last winter, and then his other eye in a new round of protests against the force that replaced him. Can you explain what Egyptians are up against and what the stakes are as the anniversary of the revolution approaches?
Well, what began on January 25th, 2011 has really developed into a much deeper struggle 1 year later. 18 days after the revolution began, of course, Hosni Mubarak was toppled. His regime, his cronies were removed. Parliament was dissolved and his party was canceled. Since then, since February 11th, Egypt has been ruled by the Supreme Council of Armed Forces, which is headed by Field Marshal Hossein Tantawi, who was Mubarak's loyal defense minister for 20 years. In the months that have ensued, we've seen a vicious crackdown on dissent against military rule. Supreme Council of Armed Forces directed army soldiers, as well as interior ministry forces, to attack protesters, shoot at them with live ammunition, birdshot. The person you mentioned, Ahmed Harara, was shot in the eyes by birdshot twice, and he's really a symbol of this struggle that's been continuing. We've also seen a clampdown on the media by the Supreme Council of Armed Forces. They have jailed bloggers, most notoriously Michael Nabil, who was jailed for 3 years for insulting the army. They've raided TV stations. They've censored newspapers and pulled them off from publication. And we've seen really one of the most egregious violations in these this past year has been the use of military trials against civilians. More than 12,000 civilians have been put on military trials. These are very swift and quick and unfair procedures. But in the face of all of this, we've also seen a growing resistance and a growing revolutionary movement that has resisted in various ways, that has continued to protest. When violence is used against them, more people come in solidarity. In the face of a media crackdown, we've seen a burgeoning independent media movement that has really taken to the streets in a very widespread grassroots fashion. And we've seen a very effective campaign against military trials that has forced, in the face of growing public opposition, the military to stop referring civilians to military trials. So right now, we're seeing a protracted struggle that's really calling for an end to military rule. In the 18 days, a common chant was "the army and the people are one hand." Now the common chant you hear at protests is "down with military rule."
Now, coming off of the elections, the recent parliamentary elections, the next chapter seems to be the planning stages of the drafting of a new constitution. Can you explain a little bit about what that process is supposed to look like and what some of the risks are?
Right. We just completed a long, protracted election process for the first post-Mubarak parliament. It took 6 weeks to complete. And the result of that election saw the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the most organized and well-equipped political force for elections here in Egypt, win close to 45% of the vote. There's a big surprise with the Salafi Party, ultra-conservative Islamist groups winning 25%, and then a very distant third, some of the more the liberal secular parties. What they are charged with now is that they are going to convene on January 23rd, 2 days before the anniversary of the revolution. And their main task, I mean, they cannot appoint the government. So the Supreme Council of Armed Forces has appointed the prime minister and all the ministers beneath him. They can't ratify any international treaties. The Supreme Council says it is the only one with that power. So really the main task of this parliament is to draft this Egypt's next constitution. And the timetable and some of the regulations around this drafting of the Constitution has a lot of people worried, because the setup right now is for the Parliament to appoint a 100-member constituent assembly, which will then draft a constitution, which will then be put to a referendum by May 15th. Many observers feel this is an impossibly short timetable to complete such a big task, after which there are meant to be presidential campaigning followed by elections for president and a supposed handover of power by the end of June of this year. What the military has made very clear, the Supreme Council of Armed Forces showed its hand in November when a document came out called the Silmi document, which was outlining a set of constitutional principles. And in that document, they made clear that they want the military budget to remain secret, to be above and outside of any civilian oversight, that they want to control the drafting of the Constitution, to be able to have veto power over it. And so this is not what nearly 1,000 people died for in this revolution. This is not why millions of people took to the streets. And so it's a worrying situation right now, because many fear that the Muslim Brotherhood, which has such a big block in Parliament, will cut some kind of deal with the Supreme Council to allow them for a safe exit to go back to their barracks and to go back from governing Egypt to just ruling it, which they've done for the past 60 years.
And briefly, what is being planned for the anniversary on the 25th?
Well, we're really seeing the two forces of this revolution coming to a head on the anniversary of the revolution. Many of the revolutionary youth activists want to protest in Tahrir. They don't want to celebrate because they say this revolution has not been completed and there's nothing to celebrate yet. They want to protest and reinvigorate the revolutionary movement. Meanwhile, the Supreme Council of Armed Forces is having its own state parade, military parade with jets, and even honoring many of the soldiers that took part in some of the biggest crackdowns on protests, namely one in October and one in November that left over 60 to 70 people dead. So there's really two sides here who are trying to claim the revolution as theirs, and we'll have to see what happens on the day.
Well, thank you so much, Sharif. Again, the piece is Egypt 1 year later.
Thank you.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.